Thanks, mate. Joss and I totally enjoyed our weekend with you. It's been an incredible experience. We love being here in the wonderful Forest Lakes. We love meeting you, incredible people. You are an incredible bunch of people, aren't you? Oh, come on, you know you are. Pat the person in front of you on the back and say, man, you're incredible. To be alone with God, to connect with God. And I will never underestimate the incredible transformation that happens in one's life when that becomes a priority. And a book that really helped me with that is written by a guy called Lance Witt, W-I-T-T, and it's called Replenish. Okay? Now, if you work for Whitcools, or Paper Plus, or a bookstore, just block your ears for a minute. My suggestion is that you get it from Book Depository, okay, because it's only about $17 or some of that, and it's free freight and all that. It's called Replenish by Lance Witt, W-I-T-T. And it's the ideal book that you can take away. I remember reading it, first time I read it was a couple of years ago, when we were on holiday in Queenstown. And just the majesticness that is Queenstown, and reading this book about, it's Replenish, Leading with a Healthy Soul. It's about looking after you and maintaining your connectedness with God and just the importance of it. And it's one of those books that you will read one year and you will put it down, and then about 2 years later you will need to read it again because you've grown, you've had life experiences, you've gained a bit of wisdom, a couple of things, and so you will see some of the things again from a different angle. A lot of it's common sense, and you'll think, oh yeah, that makes sense. But it's just really good to actually see your word and say, oh yeah, so it works for them, and it's working for me too. So it's Replenish by Lance Witt. This morning, we're talking about the body, about being as a team together. And two things in my earlier life that remind us the importance of the body is two little illustrations I'm about to give you. One is, remember I talked about my sister Sandra, and she was on the T-set and stuff like that. Well, as time progressed, I remember it was New Year's Eve one year, I would have been about 11 or 12, and she was about 10. And I was really angry with her. I was just incredibly angry. I think we were supposed to tidy up the backyard before we could go away on holiday or something. I can't remember what thing, but I was just so grassed off. This stupid little sister of mine, to about 9 at a time, wouldn't do her share of the work. I got that angry. I remember yelling and screaming at her. I got that angry. I hit her on the head with a hammer. Oh, goodness me! I was just so, that's how angry I was. I just went, woof, like this, and I must have used some really bad goosebumps. Anyway, like this. And she got up, like that, and she looked okay. And I said, what was it? Just this little trickle of blood. I said, just went like this, too. That was a joke. You know when you're a kid and you had that feeling like, crap, I'm in so much trouble, okay? I just knew I was in trouble. And at that stage, I had, this sounds really gross, but it was really cool. I had a hut in the compost pit. Okay? There was this frame and all that. It was really good. So I went and hid in there, and boy, did I get into trouble. And just look how fragile the body is, especially when it comes with the brute force of a hammer. But just, so that's one thing. So when I think of the body, I'm thinking, yeah, the time I sort of dedicated my sister. The other time that I was thinking of this morning was when I first left school, I did a butcher's apprenticeship, or meat retailing, they call it now. A butcher's apprenticeship, and I told you yesterday how practical I am not. Okay, so I am working with all these knives and everything like this, and I'm boning away and cutting and chopping, and it's really cool like this. However, by the time I'd finished this particular morning, I just had, my hands were just covered in plasters. I had just cut myself so much. And butcher's knives are incredibly sharp. You know, so when you cut yourself, it's not just a little nick, it's a good slice. And And so I had a thing of plasters. And you ain't just walk. And plasters. And so that was that. And then that was Monday morning. And then Monday afternoon was sausage making. So on the afternoon, in these days, you did everything by hand. You know, this is like so last century, it's 40 odd years ago. And you mix your sausages, and you put it through the mincer, and then you put the, you know, pig intestine skin on, you make the sausages and stuff like that. And it dawned on me, by the time I'd made the sausages, that all my plasters had gone. I still have this thing, do I eat the sausage? I'm not sure with today, technology and stuff like that, that's not the case. But one of the positives of doing sausages on a Monday, apart from that got me really passing, if you were working in the garden or working on your car and you had grease on your fingernails, by the time you finish sausage, man, your hands were spotless.
Ruth, vegan recipes, please.
Oh, so you make sausages for a living?
No,
she's a vegan. Oh, well, it just justifies your veganism. Everyone, let's focus. Okay, this morning I want to share a verse with you. Ephesians 5:25 says this, and it's a really common verse that unfortunately is really misquoted and misused and misdirected in our world today. But it says this, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so many times you look at the first part of that verse, and everyone has built whole theologies and whole series of books and seminars also on those first few words, husbands, love your wives. And often we forget about the second part of the verse. Why should the husbands love their wives? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. One of the things that I really have enjoyed this weekend is just finding out how you folk connect as a body. How you folk work as an enlarged team to accomplish all the things that you firmly believe that God wants you, the Anchor Church of Whitby, to accomplish. And the church is a body. It is a body that has parts and members. The church is a family. It's a place of family values. The church is a hospital. You find healing there. The church is a temple. It's where we collectively worship. We see that in Hebrews 2:12. The church is a house. God lives there. You see that in 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is a lighthouse. It's a place from which the light shines. And the church is a schoolhouse. It's a place where we learn and grow. And the church is your home. The church is where you as a family, you as a body congregate and meet and endeavour to do incredible things for God and the community that he has entrusted to you at this time. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, that the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. And we understand that the analogy of the body with its parts and that of the church, and how that each member, how it has many members, and yet it is part of one body. And the body needs each of its members. Like I sort of got you at the beginning to pat each other on the back, okay? Every single one of you have an incredible privilege to be part of the body. Every single one of you have the incredible responsibility to play a role in the overall function of the body. And you might think, oh, I can't, I'm too old. You might think, I'm too young. I'm too new to the faith. I've got so much other things on my plate, I can't get involved. Each and every single one of you, if you call yourself a member or a partner of the Anchor Church, has a responsibility and a privilege to play an active part in that body. We often think of hands that work, feet that take the gospel, and when we think of the body, but there are other parts too, shoulders, knees, etc. The human body does not exist to meet the needs of the hand. The hand exists to meet the needs of the body, and in doing so, it gets its own needs met. The church, the body of Christ, does not exist to meet our needs. We exist to carry out the work of the body, and in doing so, our needs will be met. I'm going to ask you to just use your imagination for a minute. And I want you to think that you are now at a funeral. Dun, dun, dun. Those numbers. At a funeral. Okay, whatever the funeral march is. So just imagine that you have gathered at church at 1 Joseph Banks Ave for a funeral of one of your beloved Anchor church members. The announcement comes on a Sunday morning. You'll be saddened to learn of the death of one of our most valuable church members. Someone else. And you'll go, oh no, someone else died. Someone's passing created a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Alice had been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone did far more than the normal person's share of the work. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person, someone else, was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Everyone thought that someone else could work with that group. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everybody's lips. Someone else will be there. Let someone else do it. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the largest givers of the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed that someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman, but a person can only do so much. Were the truth known, everyone expected too much of someone else. And now, someone else is gone. You wonder what you are going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who's going to follow it? Who is going to do the things that someone else did? Remember, we can't depend on someone else anymore. It's tragic to think of members that for some unknown reason are absent from this body. Think of what could be done if all the body parts were working together. Everybody, each of the members need the body. Imagine an arm or a leg or other body part that was detached or amputated from the body. What would happen? John Stott, one of my favourite authors, says this, A Christian who is not committed to a group of other believers for praying, sharing, and serving, so that he is known as he knows others, is not an obedient Christian. He is not in the will of God. However vocal he may be in his theology, he is not obeying the Lord. So he's probably sitting there thinking, well, John, that's nice. You say that we should be all involved in church, and we should be part of this team or part of that team, or there's someone that has to do this. And there's probably a couple of mindsets that you probably grapple with. One was, oh, that is so below me. That is, who needs to serve tea on a Sunday morning? Okay, I'm capable of doing so much more. Do you realise that serving tea on a Sunday morning could be the most important job? Could be the most important way that someone who's just sussing out your church, just visiting on a Sunday morning, connects with someone. Okay. I always just say that on a Sunday morning, it's not just what happens in the auditorium, but everywhere, the whole morning, from start to finish, there is potential God moments all the way through. And you don't know someone who's had a really hard week, a really terrible week, and they don't know what to do, and they come in and they sit down, and like no one talks to them, or you know, the message is great, the music is great, and you know, everything's fine, but it's that one little conversation that perhaps someone serving tea has with that person on that Sunday morning, it just turns that person's life around. It's the one little conversation of greeting someone in the car park. It's that one little conversation of saying goodbye to someone in the car park that could have incredible eternal ramifications on that person's life. So what are the benefits of being members of the body? As in my members, I mean active members, being involved. For starters, it identifies you as a genuine believer. It also provides a spiritual family to support and encourage you in your walk with Christ. And let's be honest, we all love encouragement. We all love it when someone says, good job. We all really enjoy it when someone says, hey, I really appreciate the way that you do the gardens, that you walk this more established and aged lady out to the car every Sunday morning, rain, hail, snow, whatever happens to the road. You know, I really enjoy it. I really like seeing you work. How many times have you, in the last 5 years, ever written a note to someone in church and just saying, hi, are you William? Yeah. Hi, William. I really enjoy the way that you do this on a Sunday morning. Or even, hi, I really like the way that you are always there helping. Or I really enjoy the way you do making music. I really enjoy the way you do this. I really like how you do this, because we as a church family really benefit from your willingness to serve. Again, never underestimate the power of just a little note, a little card, even an email or a text or something like that. Hey, I'm thinking of you today, and I've really appreciated what you did on Sunday. Or, haven't seen your church for a while, but it was great to see your smiling face there on Sunday. Let's catch up for coffee. Whatever. Never underestimate the power of supporting and encouraging people. It gives you a place to discover and use your gifts. Can a hand function that is detached? No. It places them under, but also by being involved with serving within church, being part of the body, it places them under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. We need to constantly be reminding ourselves that we are in a spiritual battle. We need to be reminding ourselves that even though you see all these things on the news and in the press and in the media and on the web and through all your apps and all that sort of stuff, that are taking all these negative things that are happening in the world, we're thinking, man, this is really bad. But we are also involved in a spiritual battle. And there are forces and powers that are fighting against us that have an incredible, incredible amount of strength and purpose to basically destroy us and drag us down. So you need to be under the protection of godly spiritual leaders. who will pray for you, who will just wrap their arms around you and to the best of their abilities protect you and grow you and mature you to become the man and woman of God that you are destined to be. We've got to remember that we are actually on the winning side, but it is still a battle. It gives the accountability needed for spiritual growth. The body needs more than just members to be alive. The body must have God's Spirit. What does it take to make a body alive? Animals are alive, but not alive to God. It takes the Spirit of God. And we sort of saw in that incredible Academy Award winning movie that we saw over three parts over the last 24 hours, which I think is just incredible, just awesome. And when, you know, God created and Adam and Eve and all that sort of stuff was just really awesome. And thinking about it, when God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and we see that in Genesis. And then when it comes to Genesis 2, it's almost like it's been told again. But you just bear with me for a minute. I'm going to do a C.S. Lewis moment and drift into my imaginary place. You imagine what heaven was like when God was created. You imagine, okay? So God's sitting around, not that God's sitting around, you know, like this. And he goes, let there be this. And it just happened. You imagine that, he's going, oh my heck, did you see that? That was just incredible, wow. You know, and just excited, all these angels going, wow. You know, and then, I was saying God said this with me. You watch this. Let there be, oh, goodness me! Look at these animals! Oh my, how on earth is that? Goodness me, he created that? Oh, but now I can understand that, right? And then, ain't finished yet. Let there be. Oh, goodness me, does it get me? So by now, the animals are just beside themselves, all 750 billion of them. And here, just your magic heaven is just like, ah! Like there's all these animals all over the place and going, oh, goodness me, this is just incredible. And then finally, God says, you know what? This is all pretty amazing. This is good. But I'm now going to create something that's going to be very good. It's going to be incredibly special. And if you look at Genesis 2:7, you can just picture God doesn't just say, let there be, or speak. But basically, he bends down on his knees. And from the earth, he molds the man. And he breathes life into this man. So when you pat the back of someone saying you do a good job, you're basically saying you are an incredible work of art. You are an incredible creation that God, who created the heavens and the earth, and when you go out on a cloudless night and you look at all the stars up there, you were created by the person who created that. And then, as the big story continued, you became part of the church. And your responsibility, your mission, your purpose, your passion is to convey that message. You know, you are worth so much to a community, to a world that thinks they are worthless. Man is a spiritual being, different from the animals. God is a spirit, and with that in mind, we're never told that God did this for the rest of his creation. That's how incredible you are. And I don't think we saw it in the movie, but you know, as the story goes on, at one stage, you know, the Tower of Babel, and God said, you know, this group of people are so incredible. Are so talented, there is nothing that they can't do. Do you realize that you, as the church, as God's representative on earth, filled with His Spirit, being light and salt in the community that God, in His wisdom since the beginning of time, has entrusted to you as a community, there is nothing that you if you work together as a team, as a body, you appreciate each other's gifts, talents, strengths, and weaknesses, you will be unstoppable. You will need building projects. You will need a whole raft just to cater for all the things that God wants to bestow and bless upon you in faith. The body must work together and be unified. One day it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work and the belly was having all the food. So they had a meeting, they held a meeting, and after a long discussion decided to strike and stop work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food. The mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, members began to find that they themselves were not in very active condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest. Thus, they found that even the belly in its dull, quiet way was doing necessary work for the body, and that all must work together for the body to go to pieces. For the body, or the body would go to pieces. Someone else is no longer a part of the Anchor Church. Who's going to take the place? You? Or are you expecting someone else to turn back up? Guess what? God, in His big plan, has taken someone else, but left you here. Yesterday morning, we started with the command from John 13, 34, 35. It says this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And let me conclude our sessions with you by reading these verses from Psalm 133. "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar on his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." The question we have asked ourselves this weekend, the theme for the camp, is love enough? The answer, my friends, once you discover what your spiritual attractiveness is, once you commit yourself to change both outwardly and inwardly as your relationship with God continues to grow, motivate you, and transform you, and as you work together as a team, as a family, as a group of people sold out and committed to transforming people into devoted, passionate ambassadors for Christ. So is love enough? Yes. Yes, my friends, it certainly is. Let's stand and pray if you will, please. Father God, we've been talking or basing our weekend on the theme that is love enough. And we have concluded that it is enough. In fact, it's more than enough, especially the love that comes from you. And later on this morning, we are going to celebrate and remember that love. The fact that you not only just created us with your hands and you breathed your breath of life into us, but you love us so much that you were willing to sacrifice your own son to just restore a broken relationship between us and you. And we thank you for the privilege we have of that we are your children, you are our Father, and regardless of whatever happens, that will always be the case. But Father, as a church family, may we strive to work together, to learn to work and just appreciate each other, develop each other's gifts, strengths, appreciate and overcome each other's weaknesses, so that we can convey that love to a community that so desperately needs it. So Father, is love enough? We certainly believe, yes, it is. And we, your community here, gathered at Forest Lakes today, you just really want to say thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.